Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Today, we continue in our study through the Simple Gospel Simply Grace Study Guide. We'll be picking up on the top of page 91, so if you have your copy of the study guide, go ahead and turn to it right now, because this is a Friday study edition of Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're in the section of our study guide, The Way of the Kingdom, and we're actually going to finish this chapter this week. Surprise, surprise. At least that's what we're saying, right?
It's the plan, huh?
Oh, my. This is just such a wonderful chapter, and it's titled Don't Look Back, and we're framing this, you know, in light of the Exodus story. You know, as God set the people of Israel free from Egyptian control, they crossed through the Red Sea. Once they crossed through, those waters fell down over the Egyptians that were following, and they were left in a watery grave. And the Israelites were on dry land on the other side in the desert, and they eventually found their way to a place called Mount Sinai, and that's where the law was given. Well, at that point, there was no way to go back to Egypt. That path had been shut down. So the only way forward, or the only way for the Israelites, was a way forward, or they could just stay stuck in the desert.
Yes.
And seems to me they stayed stuck in the desert for quite some time.
Good long
but
time.
Eventually, they made their way to the destination God had in mind for them, and that was the Promised Land. So they had to go forward. And it's the same for us as believers in Christ. Once we cross over from death to life, once we go from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, we can't go back. There's no way to reverse all that God has done for us to go back to what it was like as a lost person. God isn't going to do that. When he acts, it's a permanent action. It's a forever action. So when we've been made alive in Christ, that is a forever thing. So we need to move forward. Well, moving forward has a particular look and feel as far as the way of the kingdom is. And we've talked about that over the last couple of weeks. It's the fact that we live within this kingdom through faith, hope, and love. And so we've talked about hope. We've looked at faith a little bit. We looked last week at Romans 10:17. Love this passage. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. So how does faith come about? Through hearing the message about Jesus Christ. So we ask the question, based on this verse, does faith have any meaning apart from Jesus Christ? Is it a word in and of itself, or does it always have to have an object? And I think the clear and obvious answer is that it always has to have an object.
Like prayer.
And the object of our faith is Jesus.
Yeah.
So apart from Jesus, faith is meaningless. Mm-hmm. There really is no such thing as faith apart from Jesus. And I think that's important for us to really understand and grasp. We use that word faith a lot out
yes.
there in the world, but that's not really an accurate use of the word. Faith only has meaning when it's attached to Jesus, when it's attached to the message of Jesus, who he is and what he's accomplished for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. Now, faith comes by hearing. There's also an element that the Holy Spirit does as far as bringing faith to these hearts of ours. And we see that in John 16. 8 through 9. This is a very important passage, isn't it, Richard? And why don't you read that for us?
Sure. When he comes, that's the Spirit, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me.
So based on this passage, what is the root of all sin?
Unbelief.
Unbelief. So when we talk about adultery or fornication or lying or stealing or any of those sins, that's kind of the fruit. At the root of that is this unbelief, isn't
Correct.
That? Okay.
Yes.
So God sent the Holy Spirit to convict the world wrong about sin, righteousness, and judgment about sin because the world does not believe in Jesus. So what happens when we hear the message about Jesus? Well, that heart of unbelief is changed. It goes from unbelief to belief. And that's exactly what we ask. What happened to your heart of unbelief when you heard the good news concerning Jesus Christ?
I started to believe.
You started to believe. You started to believe that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. You started to believe that his death on the cross brought about forgiveness of sins. You started to believe that God actually raised him from the dead. And in that belief, things changed internally.
Yes.
Now, once you believe in Jesus, you can't go back to not believing. That's just the way it works, isn't it?
It is. There's no point. I've heard this argument several times in various contexts. Well, you know, this person was a real man of God. He was a pastor that led thousands to Christ. And, you know, later in his ministry, he got disillusioned and he stopped believing. No, he didn't. He either didn't believe at all those years and was faking it, or some crisis of belief truly did happen, but he never stopped believing in Jesus.
Absolutely.
There is no
not.
Going back.
None whatsoever. Yeah. I know when I came to Christ as a 12-year-old at that church camp, my heart was so moved to believe in Jesus, to respond to what he had accomplished for me through his death, burial, and resurrection. I believed and I received. Now, after that, I didn't have a lot of discipleship. I didn't have a lot of follow-up. And so I didn't really know how the Christian life was really supposed to work.
Yeah.
So I tried whatever I thought seemed appropriate and wise. And it always shifted back to human effort. Well, God, I'm going to try to be your guy. I'm going to do it this time. I'm going to choose not to sin. I'm going to choose to do what's right. I'm going to choose to do the good thing. And it was all on my shoulders.
Yes.
And I got disillusioned with Christianity, but I never lost sight of the fact that Jesus Christ was the answer. I never doubted that one single time. I just didn't know the questions that he really was going to answer in my life. And
yes.
It took me some time to really figure out what those questions were. And then faith really took me to a new level.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is what this is talking about. Once we go from unbelief to belief, we're never going to go back. Our heart has been changed permanently and forever. And so we see that in Galatians 2:20. This is one of those great verses in all the Bible. It says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So we've been equipped to live this new life of faith in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So we weren't equipped as lost people to do that. Why? Because we had hearts of unbelief.
Yes.
Now, because of the gospel message, that heart has been changed. It has gone from unbelief to belief. So we've been equipped to live the Christian life, haven't we?
Yes.
And how do we do that? By faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
Yes.
So we have hope. That marks us out as a believer. That's part of the way of the kingdom. We have faith. That's how we really live the Christian life. And now we're going to have love. And in Galatians 5:6, we see some really, I think, startling words there. Richard, why don't you read that for us?
For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love.
So he says something remarkable. The only thing that counts.
Mm-hmm. This is radical stuff.
Let's say that again. The only thing
yeah.
that counts. I mean, there's a lot of things that we think matter. You know, we have a litany of things that we're supposed to be doing as Christians.
Yes.
You know, we're supposed to be going to church. We're supposed to be reading our Bible. We're supposed to be giving our money. We're supposed to be doing all of these different things. And not that any of those things are bad, But apart from love, they're meaningless, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Paul talked about that in the great love chapter. We could have faith to move mountains, but without love, it's meaningless. We could give all that we had to the poor, but without love, it's totally meaningless. So the only thing that counts is this faith in Jesus Christ that is expressing itself through love, both to God and to others.
Yes.
That's the way of the kingdom. That's what differentiates every other philosophy from Christianity. Mm-hmm. Those philosophies are empty and hollow. There's no substance. Here we see real substance in the fact that our faith can be expressed in love toward others.
Yeah.
That's big, isn't it?
Right, large.
That is big. So the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. So hope anchors us to Jesus and to all that we are and have in him. From this hope spring forth faith and love. These three, faith, hope, and love, are the way of the kingdom.
Yes.
That's not the way of the lost world. That's not how we lived as unbelievers. But all that changed when Jesus rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and placed us in the kingdom of God. Now we have a whole new way of living.
Yeah.
Faith, hope, and love.
Absolutely. Well, friends, you're listening to the Basic Gospel Friday Study Edition from the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us. You'll find the book and the study guide when you visit our special website, SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. Again, that's SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. You know, friends, we have seen it and heard about it countless times over the years. When the truth is heard, when the truth takes root, new life, a forever changed life is the result. And when you give and someone hears, believes, and begins to live the life Jesus provides, you have a part in that. So we want you to have a part in that. We ask you today to help keep the good news coming. Just click donate on any page at basicgospel.net, and when you do, good things happen. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, one of the lessons of life is that we can't go back. Mm-hmm. You know, we just have to move forward. We can't recapture the past. The past is gone. Oftentimes when we get lonely, when we get depressed, when things aren't going the way we think they should be right now, and we don't think they're going to go too well for us tomorrow, we start looking back at the past, don't we?
Yeah.
And we start looking at our glory days of old, and we want to try to recapture it. I know for me, before I met Gina, those times I was lonely, I would think about old girlfriends. Well, they didn't work before. Why would I think they would work? Yeah.
How was that a glory day?
That's right. That's exactly right. But that's how we do. That's how our minds operate. Certainly the Israelites, once they left Egypt and got out into that desert, it didn't look so good for them right out there. And they asked Moses, did you just bring us out here to kill us?
Oh.
And so they started thinking about the days back in Egypt.
Yeah, as if those were the easy days.
That's right. That's exactly
Pharaoh
right.
Pharaoh was killing them by the thousands. Yeah. And, oh, we want to go back.
But our minds think like that.
Yeah,
it's crazy, but they do. And we have to realize we can't go back. And the only way is forward. And that's true in the Christian life. Once we're saved, we can't go back to unbelief. We can't go back to being lost. We can't reverse all that Christ has accomplished for us. We can't go from life back to death. And we can't go from belief back to unbelief. Mm-hmm. And the question is, why would we even want to? And that's the consideration that Paul brings up in Romans chapter 6. You know, we hear critics of the grace of God. You're just giving people a license to sin. Well, that's what they've been set free from. When somebody comes to Christ by grace through faith, they've been set free from sin and death. They've been set free from that old lifestyle of sin. And the reason they even responded to the grace of God is because they were miserable in that way of life. They had felt an emptiness. They had felt a longing for something more. And when the message of Christ hit their hearts, they responded. Now, why would they want to go back to that old empty way of life? But many people say, hey, that's what the grace of God does. It just gives people a license to sin. Paul hits that head on. He hits it hard, 2x4, right between the eyes. And he starts in Romans 6:2. So, Richard, why don't you read that verse to us?
The question has been asked, shouldn't we just go ahead and sin then? And he says, by no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer?
Pretty good question, isn't it?
And the implied answer is you can't.
Right.
You just can't.
You can't. Why? Because your heart has changed. Mm-hmm. You know, the core of what you were, an unbeliever, has been changed. At your core, you're a believer. That's part of that new creation. And so you're naturally going to want to trust the Lord. Sometimes your mind listens to the things of the world and to the desires of the flesh, and you choose to give in to those. But at the core, that's in conflict. You're saying, no, no, no. God has equipped me to do something else, to walk by faith in Jesus. That's what the core of who you are is screaming, is shouting out for you to do, to trust Jesus.
Now, this is one of the great proofs of grace, is that, you know, when we wander off into the weeds, in the old days, that meant I'm lost. I deserve to die. But now that I've been recreated and I belong to Jesus, the Spirit doesn't leave. The Spirit just, you know, right into my brain says, is this working for you? Is this where you want to be? I mean, that's the grace and the love of God working into us in spite of our behavior.
That's exactly right.
Our behavior has nothing to do with God's grace. Our behavior has to do with our response to God's grace, but not to His grace and His initiative into our lives.
Yeah, what He has accomplished for us through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And when we listen to the things of the world or maybe the desires of the flesh and choose to give in to those, mm-hmm. we realize we don't belong there anymore. We don't fit in that old way of life. That's we used to fit there, but not anymore. Why?
Not anymore.
Because we've been changed. So we can't go back. We have to move forward. Now, Paul wrote to Timothy, and I love this passage. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So what is Paul telling Timothy to do, and what is Paul telling us to do?
To take hold of that which we've been given. We've been given eternal life. Hold on to it. Grab onto it. Make it real. Let it inform everything you do. It really does change things. When you stop and think about, I'm alive.
Yeah.
I really am alive. Yeah. That's motivation.
Yeah, you're alive, so live life to the full.
Yes.
You know, take hold of it. Grab it and run with it. This is what God has saved you for this new life in Christ, this way of the kingdom. Man, jump in both feet. I mean, abandon yourself to what God has for you in Jesus. And that's when this life really becomes exciting. So quit looking back to the past. Have in your mind that I'm going to press on. I'm going to move forward. And in that attitude, take hold of this eternal life to which you were called when you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. What was that good confession? That Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yes.
That Jesus is the Son of the living God, the Messiah, the Savior. That was your good confession. That's what you spoke, and you spoke it because there was belief in your heart that God had raised him from the dead. So take hold of that new life and live it. Live it to the full. Now, we see this attitude in Paul in the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 3. And this is one of those chapters that really is a high mark in the Word of God. It's a pinnacle. A friend of mine used to say that all roads in Scripture eventually lead to Philippians chapter 3. And I don't think he's wrong in that. I think there's a lot to be said about that idea. But in Philippians 3:13-14, Paul says this, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." So what was Paul's attitude about this new life in Christ?
Always forward.
Always forward. There's nothing out there that can compare to it. And so since there's nothing out there that can compare to it, I'm going to grab hold of this and I'm going to press on. I'm going to move forward in the life of Christ. So is with that being the case, we're going to ask some questions for you to consider. Is there anything holding you back from taking hold of this eternal life to which you were called or pressing on toward the goal? There's a lot of people that are holding on to things of this world, and they have deemed those things to be more important to them than the life of Christ that is in them. And it's time to let go of those things.
Yeah.
So we're asking you, is there anything holding you back from taking hold of this eternal life to which you were called?
Would it help you answer that question if you realize that the verse we haven't read, which is just before this, says, "But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me"?
That's powerful.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. God has taken hold of us for
already.
Yeah.
Already.
For something much greater than our human minds could ever dream or imagine.
Yeah.
Life lived in the very presence of God with Christ himself living in us. There's nothing out there that can compare. Mm-hmm. And yet we grab hold of things out there in the world as if they come close.
Yeah.
But they don't. So if there are things holding you back, would you let go of them today? Second thing, are you fearful of the unknown, of moving forward in Christ Jesus? That's what happened with the Israelites.
Yes.
And we don't necessarily know what tomorrow is going to look like. But what we do is that Christ is already there. Mm-hmm. Christ already knows what our tomorrow is going to look like. And he's only going to lead us to things that are going to be of benefit to us. So there's absolutely nothing for us to fear.
No.
So are you fearful? Are you willing to let go of that fear? Allow the love of God to cast aside that fear, to give you the courage to step out in faith and say, "Whatever it looks like, Lord, I know it's going to be good because it's something that you have brought about for me. You have made it happen." Do you think the world has something better to offer? You know, I used to be Mr. Noncommittal. You know, why? Because I always thought something better might come along. Well, let me tell you, folks, nothing better than Jesus is going to come along. There's no reason to look into the world. In Christ, you have everything. Are you willing to cast these aside and trust confidently in the one who loved you and gave himself for you? Pressing on, it takes courage, but experiencing the life of Jesus is worth everything. This is what he saved you for.
Amen, brother. Good stuff, guys. Thank you. Friends, we're glad you joined us for the study edition of Basic Gospel. And again, you can find the book Simple Gospel, Simply Grace and the companion study guide through which we're studying when you visit SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. Again, that's SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. At Basic Gospel, we're privileged to proclaim the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we're blessed to have many of you partnering with us. You know, the need is great, and Basic Gospel has the answer to the heart needs of people everywhere, people whose souls and spirits are ready to hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you've not yet joined with us, we ask you to help today. Help us get the answer out to everyone who so desperately needs to hear it. Will you join with us today with a gift? Your gift through Basic Gospel will mean the difference in someone's life. Click donate on any page at basicgospel.net. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. Well, that's it for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again on Monday after a great weekend in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.